Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast, coming to you from San Luis Obispo, California.
Where you stand?
LA living gridlocked in the fast lane. Trying to strike a rich match, play my cash game.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is the Fansmanship.com podcast. It is Thursday night, and we are here. I am here. I should say I am here. Maybe the royal we, the editorial we. It's just me again. It's Owen here, and I have coming up at the end of this podcast an interview with Chase Johnson, former Cal Poly pitcher, now a starting pitcher in the San Francisco Giants organization. He actually pitches this year for the San Jose Giants, and I got a chance to go up there, and I'll talk about that in just a second. But I have a couple other things I want to just talk about, go over quickly, and then we'll get to the Chase Johnson interview. So that should be good. First of all, it is Thursday, which means that the NBA Finals are set, and I'm really excited about the NBA Finals this year. It features the two best players in the league, I really think. When you're talking about LeBron James and when you're talking about Steph Curry, the Cavs versus the Warriors. The Cavs were able to get through the Hawks pretty easily, especially the Corverless Hawks, and LeBron is really kind of turning it on, even though his game doesn't look as efficient. He's got his team playing really well, even without Kevin Love, and it'll be really fun to watch him go up against Steph Curry here. Steph Curry, of course, is this year's MVP, toughed it out through the series with the Rockets, and I'm just so excited to see the two best players in the league. I said it on the Sports Bite the other night that I really think that when you're looking at two teams that are pretty closely matched, and some would say that the Warriors, you know, are definitely the clear favorites, and I would agree. But when you're looking at a series at this level, like the NBA Finals, you really got to go with who has the best player on their team. And the fun part about this series to me is that LeBron James has been the best player in the league for the last, I don't know, 5-8 years, give or take. And Steph Curry is the MVP this year. And so we're really going to be able to see who's the best player right now. Who's going to be able to kind of, it's cliche, but who's going to be able to step up? Who's going to be able to make the plays when it counts? And I can't pick this series beyond just saying that the Warriors are deeper, so maybe they'll win. But if LeBron is clearly the best player, if he's clearly, you know, head and shoulders above the second best player, which would be Steph Curry in that scenario, then I don't see the Warriors being able to overcome that if LeBron is that good and if Kyrie Irving can play his role. I think it could be a really good series for the Cavs. It would be really neat to see Cleveland win. It would be really neat to see Golden State win. I know we're on the West Coast, so to see the Warriors win a title would be really cool, especially for those Bay Area fans who might have been kind of jilted. I know that the Kings fans and the Warriors fans are not the same group, but they are from the same region, and the Kings fans never really got a ring for how good their team was in the Shaq Kobe years when the Lakers were so dominant over them. And so, you know, I think it would be cool for the Bay Area to get a title and go from there. So the NBA Finals are coming up, and they should be fun to watch. You know, you'll see the bruising play of LeBron James against the kind of silky smooth play of Steph Curry. And I hate it when basketball is broken down into just two guys matching up against each other who don't even play the same position. But in this series, that's just going to be an intriguing thing to watch, and that dynamic of how games go and whether the Warriors can get out to big leads or the Cavs can get out to big leads and how different teams react. Neither of these teams have a ton of playoff experience. Obviously, LeBron James does, but beyond him, you know, there isn't a lot of experience for any of these organizations. So it'll be cool to watch. You know, I'm a big fan of the NBA, and that'll be good. I had some nostalgia this week as well. A year ago this week, we were getting ready to go to the Cal Poly Regional for, switching gears, I guess, to baseball. We were getting ready to go to the Cal Poly Regional here in San Luis Obispo. Cal Poly, of course, was one of the only West Coast teams to host a regional last year, and lost to Pepperdine twice in the regional that they hosted. Beat Sac State twice, I think. Lost to Pepperdine twice. The regionals this year were announced, and UCLA is hosting a regional. They're like the number one seed, I think, in the whole tournament. And Fullerton's hosting a regional because they're Fullerton and they're really good with Thomas Eshelman as their ace. But UC Santa Barbara was a really interesting case, and it's something that I wanted to kind of just throw out there. They're hosting their regional at Lake Elsinore. So there's a California League team, the Lake Elsinore Storm, who are basically renting out their facility to UCSB in order for the Gauchos to host a regional. And so it'll be interesting to think about. The Gauchos can't host a regional at their own field. Their stadium isn't equipped for it, and it actually doesn't even have lights. So without lights in their stadium, they're not able to host a regional at UCSB, but they are good enough this year to be, you know, one of the top 16 teams in the country to be able to host a regional. And they chose to host it out at a minor league field. So they actually might be hosting the regional at one of the nicer stadiums now, being that it's a minor league ballpark. And I wish them the best of luck, along with Cal State Fullerton. Those are the only two teams from the Big West that made the regionals this year. And Cal Poly Baseball finished at 500. Speaking of Cal Poly Baseball, I did get up and a chance to drive up to San Jose this past weekend. I found out that Chase Johnson was scheduled to start on Sunday afternoon, and while sitting in the San Jose heat all day is not maybe the ideal thing that I wanted to do, it did allow me to go up and back to San Jose in the same day pretty easily. I took a couple of friends up there. A San Jose Giants ticket, like for the front row right behind the plate, is like $17, I think. It's a pretty great deal. It's single-A baseball, and so it's high-A. The California League, the San Jose Giants are in the same league, actually, as the Lake Elsinore Storm. I think Lake Elsinore is the Padres' affiliate. The Dodgers' affiliate is Rancho Cucamonga. There's also affiliates in other places. I think there's a High Desert team. I think there's a team. I know there's a team in Bakersfield and a team in Visalia as well. So we might try to get over there to some more Rancho Cucamonga games maybe when they come north a little bit. But Chase Johnson was pitching on Sunday, and so I got a chance to go up and see him throw. He struck out 9 guys in, I think, 5 2/3 innings. Looked really sharp. Came out of the game. The Giants won, but he got a no decision against the Quakes, the Dodgers affiliate team. And it was really cool to kind of see how he's progressed. He's a guy who, if you remember 3 years ago now in the UCLA regional, when Cal Poly lost to UCLA and USD the last two games that they played there, Chase Johnson finished all three games that Cal Poly played in that regional and gave up no runs in, I think, like 3 2/3 innings or something like that. Pitched really well. Was a reliever in college and switched over to being a starting pitcher in professional baseball, which maybe is kind of the opposite of what happens for a lot of guys. So last year he was able to kind of get a little bit stretched out in terms of stamina, in terms of working, you know, longer innings. He didn't really average even 5 innings a game or 5 innings a start last year, if just barely 5. This year he's averaging, I think, 5 innings a start, and he threw 95 pitches on Sunday. He was in like the 92 to 93 range in terms of his fastball, and was really spotting it really well. I took a lot of pictures, so check out that post on fansmanship.com. And I had a short conversation with him. It's like under 5 minutes that I'm going to play for you guys right now. And then we'll catch you next time. I'm headed to Colorado next week, but I'll try to, you know, do a podcast. I'll try to post something. I'm trying to get a couple other people on the podcast here, so be patient with us. Hang in there with us. We like it when you listen. Drop us a line. Follow me at Fansmanship. One more thing I want to mention before we get to Chase Johnson that is Cal Poly related. And I know that it was going to be such a nice, smooth segue. And that is that just like college baseball players play summer league, there's soccer players that are in kind of a summer league, or they have summer teams that are amateur teams. And the Ventura County Fusion is one of those teams, as is PSL Elite, I believe it's what it's called. They're from Orange County. And there's some Cal Poly guys that play on those teams. And those two teams played in the U.S. Open Cup last night. And Matt LaGrassa is on the Ventura County team, played against Wade Hamilton, who's the goalie on the PSL Elite team. It looks like the Elite team beat Ventura County, and they did it with Justin Dillon, who came on, who's a Cal Poly striker, a winger. He came on, and really the first time he touched the ball, he scored a goal, and that's pretty awesome. I know there are a lot of chances that he's had over the past few years, and has had a defender kind of come in at the last minute, or just hasn't quite been able to finish on a number of occasions. I think Dylan's a guy who could have had maybe 10 or 12 goals last year. I don't think he quite got to that many. But to see him score so quickly and so efficiently is definitely a welcome sight for fans of Cal Poly and what the program's doing with Steve Sampson as their head coach. So they'll be playing at the StubHub Center, I think, on June 17th against the LA Galaxy. So this is a team that beat a professional team in the round before. In PSL Elite beat, I think, the Orange County Blues, and then which is a professional team, and then they beat Ventura County Fusion, and now they're on to play the Galaxy at the StubHub Center. So definitely David and Goliath. I'm going to try to get down there for that as well in like 3 weeks. I think it's on a Saturday night, or maybe it's on a Wednesday night in like 3 weeks. So yeah, check that out. If you're down in the LA area, check that out. If you're up in the Bay Area, find out when Chase Johnson's starting and go check it out. It's a really cheap ticket. It's a really close. You're really close to the action the whole time. Minor league baseball is really fun. I definitely recommend it. Okay, enough of that. Let's get to Chase Johnson. I'm going to play my interview with him, and thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Chase, what was working for you today?
Fastball location was really good today, and change-up, slider mix.
Yeah, it seemed like you were working inside, yeah. Outside a lot, kind of keeping them off balance, or is it?
Yeah, that was a big thing. I kept going in a lot and, just trying to keep them off balance so that, I could get the outside corner and make them miss it.
What's the balance between pitching inside and then, pitching effectively inside? Because pitching inside of me, it could get away from me. I think you hit one guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, what's the difference there?
Even if you hit the guy, it's the same message that you're going into everybody. So, I mean, just it's hard to get inside the ball when you're hitting, when you throw inside, and it's usually not good contact.
Yeah, was it a matter of getting ahead early today? It seemed like you're getting ahead in a lot of counts.
Yeah, that's what I've been focusing on, is just getting ahead early, and because then I can start nibbling on corners, trying to get my pitch in.
How does it affect you throwing on a day game that's a little bit warm, maybe the warmest game of the year so far? How do you like pitching in the heat?
I don't mind it. I played in Augusta last year, and I think every game was about 90 degrees of humidity. So
pretty gross, too, probably.
Yeah, so it's not like I wasn't used to it.
Yeah. So you in Augusta last year. It's your third year in pro ball now, 2.5, 3 years, yeah. What's been the biggest adjustment for you over the past 3 years?
I was a reliever in college, so last year just gained a routine of a starter and trying to get in a good rhythm, I guess. And, it's just a big learning curve going from reliever to starter.
Yeah. It seems like you're pretty dialed in the whole start. I was taking some pictures and kind of like watching you kind of in and out. How much of that is kind of a mental approach that you have to have as a starting pitcher?
A lot of it's mental for me. I mean, as a reliever, I kind of get pumped up as a reliever, and because you only got one or two innings. But as a starter, it's more about being calm and collected and just trying to be even keel throughout the whole game.
What's a part of your game or development that you're most pleased with right now?
I'd say my off-speed pitches. I didn't throw a lot today, but my slider's been coming along really well, and my changeup, just command of those two pitches.
What's the part of your game you think you need kind of to still work on or you're focused on right now?
I'd say being able to throw any pitch in any count. I'm still learning those off-speed pitches and trying to get a really good feel for them, but yeah.
How much do you follow what Cal Poly does during a baseball season?
I follow them a lot. I mean, Cal Poly alum, so I mean, definitely like to follow those guys, and kind of bummed that they didn't have a better season this year. I mean, last year they had phenomenal though.
Were you following along last year and you were in Augusta at that time, right?
Yeah, I was definitely following along last year.
Talking some trash to other people around.
Yeah.
And being able to see some of those guys that you played with host a regional. What do you think that meant to Cal Poly?
That was awesome. I mean, we had a good year my junior year, and then to build off that and to host a regional that year, I mean, that was a phenomenal year, and they had a lot of good guys. I mean, a lot of good friends that friendships that I made, and it was good to see those guys succeed.
Do you see those guys around, like, in spring training when you're all in Arizona? Did you, like, hook up with guys like, you know, Jimmy Allen, even David Armendariz, you know, some of those other guys?
Yeah, I mean, I played against them, and then, one of my good friends, Reed Riley, we worked out in the off season, so it's kind of cool just to be able to see those guys, and, you know.
How much do you talk to Coach Lee?
I go up to Cal Poly in the off season. Okay. I talk to the coaches a little bit. Yeah.
Okay. Best Cal Poly memory now that you're a few years removed?
It's definitely the UCLA regional, and you know that experience. That was probably one of the, I mean, up to that point, that was probably the biggest stage I'd pitched in. So it was a really cool experience.
Well, you're up here in San Jose this year. Pretty close drive for Cal Poly fans if they want to come watch you pitch. It seems like a pretty fun little stadium. Pretty close quarters.
Yeah.
You know, you can hear and see everything. And what's it like to pitch in a stadium like this? I mean, it's a little older, but it's like it's very intimate.
Yeah, I love the stadium. I mean, we usually get a lot of fans and, you know, people yelling, and it just really helps you just stay locked in. And, you know, it's just fun to play in a nice stadium where, you know, you get a good fan base.
Good luck.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Fansmanship Podcast. For more podcasts and more in-depth sports discussion, go to fansmanship.com.
The lonely place is true. Street lights so bright they blind my vision, and the people on the streets they beat me up till I'm black and blue.